will eat the fruit thereof. This morning, that scripture could be applied in a different sense, in the sense in which you just saw demonstrated. Not only does your tongue have the ability to bring forth life and death, but your choices carry the weight of the consequences of life or the consequences of death. Matthew, the 18th chapter, says in verse 20, "Where two or more are gathered in His name, there shall He be in the midst of them." In that passage of Scripture, we find that over and over again, God dwells in a place. That God will bring you to a place, and in that place, He will give to you the power of choice, and in that power of choice, your tongue can speak and seize life, or speak and seize death. That quite literally, at the crossroads of your choices, in the power of your tongue, in the power of the words that come from your tongue, you will choose what your future and its intended outcome looks like. As I read this morning from Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, we read from a place and a time in which Joshua, he that brought them into the promised land, now brought them to the place that he would be buried. And in his final words, he brought them to Shechem, to a specific place. And he reviewed the history of who God would be for them, who God was for them. And he said, "Choose not that which is death. Choose not the gods of your forefathers, but choose that which is of your heavenly Father. For in that choice, you will live not just in the land promised, but you will live in the life called abundant." This morning, I wonder, in this house, what is the condition of the choices in each person's heart and in each person's home? Today, have you come living in the midst of consequences of life or of death? Have you come this morning and given your power to choose away? Is someone else calling the shots? Is someone else or something else pulling your chain and determining for you what kind of life you either have or what kind of life you live? You see, very simply, the church, the altar in the church, is a decision point. It's a defining moment. It's where the two roads cross for you and for me. It's for every person to come to a place, just like the place that Joshua brought the people to and said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, because in the power of your choice, you will decide and determine life or death." Over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, we find God's people in places that they were never destined and designed to be. They were in places that God's heart never desired for them to experience. How did they get there? They chose. They chose other things, other priorities. And they set their hearts on those things. And in due season, they experienced death, devastation, and destruction. Church is about coming and finding life. It's not just about enduring lengthy worship, sermons and altar calls. It's about coming to a place in which abundant and eternal life is offered. And while that life is offered, that altar call is given, that choice is given to every believer to choose. Ultimately, each man must choose ye this day whom and what they will serve. You see, there are some this morning that fit in one of two categories. there are those that fit in category number one, which is the category of the unsaved. You've come this morning and that's the category that best describes you. You thought you were here by coincidence. You came to appease someone else who's always been telling you to come try this church that's different. You will love the music because it's loud and it's long. You will laugh at the pastor because he doesn't know much English. And what's even more frightening is he doesn't know that he doesn't know. And not only does he not know that he can't speak very good English, but he doesn't know that he ain't a singer. But it doesn't stop him from trying. Some of you are here this morning and you're in that first category. You're not saved and you thought you were here by coincidence. But as you saw this being lived out, you said, "That's me! Something and someone else is calling the shots for my life. If I were to die right now, I would die and go to hell." Category number one, the unsaved. Now, in following one of our new members' understandings of how this pastor works, I will now warn you, category number two, that I'm about to step on your toes. Just so you know. Because category number two is every bit as lethal and destructive, every bit as divisive and destructive, because it is the category of, "I've been saved, but I don't live sanctified." Yes, I have a white robe. Yes, at times I look and act like a Christian. In certain places when it's convenient to me, I let Him make my choices for me. Or I choose choices that edify and lift up. But the truth is, I'm saved, but not sanctified. Enough to be in, but not enough to get out. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that is the person who has come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and yet they're not freed by the power of knowing Christ. They're that person who comes to church week after week after week and they have a white robe and yet their life is connected to other things. Other things control their lives. Other things control their choices. Other things control their desires. That when the lights go down and nobody's looking, they become a whole different person. It's the saved but not sanctified person. It's the person when no one is looking. It's the person who reaches for alcohol to be their comfort and to be their entertainment. It's the person that reaches for the drugs and the premarital sex and the deception and the immorality. It's the person who praises like a Christian on Sunday and curses like the devil on Monday. It's the person who's always praying for a breakthrough, but makes choices that lead to breakdowns. It's the person that is most uncomfortable in this room this morning, because it's the person that while they want to be free, they want freedom without right choices. They want to be selective. They want to hold on to a little bit of heaven and a little bit of hell. It's the person in the second category that a church stands in a community and says, "Thus saith the Lord, this is a house that will be a light. It will be a beacon. It will be a place where the Spirit of the Lord God is." It's a place that cuts no corners. It's a place that does not look around the strings. It's a place that looks into the heart of every believer and says, "There's not only a lion in you of the tribe of Judah, but there's a king in you. And you are destined to be more than just saved. You are destined to be sanctified. You weren't supposed to be a tail. You're supposed to be the head. You weren't supposed to be walked on. You were supposed to do the walking. You weren't supposed to be enslaved by this and that. But you were to take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you." It's this person in category number two that hates these kinds of services because it makes them You know, you've been here at Dominion Church a pretty long time when you can finish my sentences before I do. But see, friend, it's this second category that this morning you're the person that's sitting in those pews that this altar call is every bit for. So often we see something like this and we look around the room and we try to figure out who's unsaved. And we fail to look inside for salvation, that we might be sanctified and delivered and set free from the bondages and the excuses of living like a world that's as lost on the outside of us as the lostness is on the inside of us. You see, friend, in Exodus chapter 9, it says in the 16th verse, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." As we visit this passage of Scripture, we visit God's children who have not only been saved, but they're about to be delivered. And this passage of Scripture is not being spoken to them. It's being spoken to the Pharaoh, the puppet master, the one who calls the shots, the one who holds the strings over them. And God is saying to that puppet master and that Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Different writers translate this passage of Scripture differently. But it's a season in which God has chosen the day that these people will serve. And He's saying in the realm of the Spirit, and now they're seeing and hearing it in the natural, that this is my day, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. There shall be nothing and no one that holds them down and holds them back. There shall be no pharaohs over them. I am cutting them off. I am cutting the strings. One theologian writes and says this about Exodus 9 and 16. It says that I have raised you to the throne, Pharaoh, to show you my power. Pharaoh, I have let you remain for the purpose of showing through you my power. Another wrote and said, I have caused you to stand, Pharaoh, to surface for a time such as this so that I can show you my power. Another translator writes and says, that is why I left you alive, Pharaoh, to let you see my power. I have preserved you for this reason, Pharaoh, to make you see my power. This puppet master, this Pharaoh who had been raised, who has remained, who is now standing and coming to the surface, who has been left alive and has been preserved for such a time as this. This Pharaoh was the type of person whom stubbornly and rebelliously opposed God even to the point of destruction. Friend, I wonder this morning, who or what is the Pharaoh in your life? Who or what is that thing that stubbornly opposes God's will in your life, even to the point of destruction? Who or what is that which has rebelliously set itself or themselves against you? Or in other words, who holds the strings to your life this morning? I move now into the altar call, and I remind each of you that this is the place that He has chosen. This is the place where two or more gather in His name. This is the place that when you gather in this place, that in this place when you gather and where you gather, His yoke breaking anointing comes to set you free. Not just to save you, but to deliver you. Not just to deliver you, but to heal you. And let me remind you that right now as you're in the altar call, war is inevitable. War is inevitable when two parties want the same parcel or piece or portion of land. You see it in the workplace. When two companies want the same market, they want to fight over the same thing. War is inevitable. You see it in the sports place. Two teams wanting the same trophy, coming together in the same place, there's going to be a fight, and war is inevitable. You see it in the dating place. When two women come to the same man, standing in the same place, praying God's will for the same thing, war is inevitable. But friends, I'm not talking this morning. I am not talking about the marketplace. I'm not talking about the workplace, the sports place, or the dating place. The place I'm talking about, where the war is inevitable, is in the place and the peace and the portion of your heart that the devil has come to destroy. What is that place? Your choices. He's fought you tooth and toenail, and even now, war has broken out in your mind. And you have said, I will not go down, no matter what he says. No matter how long he preaches, I'll outsit him. I will outglare him. I will outstare him. I am not moving by my choice to the place that God has chosen for me. Friend, right now, war has broken out in the hearts of many people in this realm. And this is the time, in just a moment, that I'm going to ask believers to start praying as never before. Because you're fighting hell. You're fighting hell for someone's eternal salvation and sanctification this morning. You're fighting on two levels and two categories. The first is that person who wandered in here by what they thought was coincidence, but what God called appointment. That first category is that person who has come in this morning and they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But in just a moment, they're going to make the choice and choose life. And they're going to tell the person next to them, excuse me. And they're going to come to this altar and by choice, take back for their life the choices that lead to abundant and eternal life. In just a moment, when I ask people to begin to pray, it's going to be over not just that first category of the saved. It's the second category. The saved but not sanctified. The person who at one time you gave your heart to the Lord, but you didn't give your head or all of the choices in your head or all of the desires in your heart. You held some things back. You said, I'll let you have this, this, and this. But in the secret places you said, but not this, this, and this. You see, the second category that you're praying for, saints, this morning is probably the most war-filled area. Because the first category is one that suffers from a lack of knowledge. And as the Scripture says, they perish. For they know not better. But it's the second category that suffers not from a lack of knowledge, but they perish from a lack of obedience and a lack of surrender. This is the place where you separate the spiritual men from the spiritual boy and boys. It's the place you separate becoming spiritual from holding on to things carnal. You see, it's this second category that you know and know well. Because as you saw the Pharaoh, the puppet master, stand to his feet and stand upon an elevated place that he took without permission, you saw your Pharaoh. You saw the thing that stubbornly and rebelliously opposes your abundant life here on earth and your eternal heaven and its destination. You saw, for each person possibly a different thing, but you saw your Pharaoh. You saw the spirit of depression calling the shots in your life. You saw your Pharaoh, the spirit of discouragement, telling your feelings how to feel and your actions what to do. You saw your spirit, your Pharaoh, of being a deceiver and a liar and an accuser and a blamer and a condemner of others. You saw that thing that deceives you and how it controls you. To another, you saw the fact that while, yes, you have a new heart, you still live under an old appetite. Because you see in secret how you return to the old playground with the old playmates and how you continue to touch the old playthings that the Scripture calls is carnal and ungodly, unholy, and unpleasing to God. You saw in that moment the Pharaoh that controls your choices. And you grimaced on the inside in that moment. And you wished and you even prayed in the desires of your hearts for a life that would be without that tormenting Pharaoh and puppet master controlling you. And this morning, as we now stand, God has honored that prayer. Because this morning is about salvation, it's about sanctification, and it's about healing and deliverance. It's about a church fulfilling its God-given purpose and destiny in a community. It's about bringing people great hope, great anticipation, and great opportunity to come to an altar where an old rugged cross still stands. Though it's empty, it still stands. And there's room at the cross, at the altar, for the person who's the most saved to the unsaved. And so now, as I told you, I would ask you to pray for both categories. I ask saints right now to begin to pray, as you maybe not prayed in a while, because salvation, deliverance, and healing is riding on the line as this church now announces in the next 3 moments that the altar of life-giving choice is open. Go ahead, church, begin to pray. Sometimes, too often in these sometimes, we rush through this because we're more concerned about getting people to lunch than to heaven. That we're more concerned about getting people back to their bondages and their cycles and their patterns of defeat than helping them cross over the line to the thrill of victory and life eternal. Go ahead, friends, start praying. Today is about salvation, deliverance, and healing. It's about young men and women having invested their lives for countless hours in preparing a drama that would visualize for you this day that there's hope for the unsaved and the unsanctified. That there would be delivering and healing in a place where God's presence was allowed to dwell in their midst. Today is about what God can do in your life when you give God your choice of life. In 3 moments, you will answer this call as 3 or 4 who've already come forward has answered. In 3 moments, for the person who has never known the Lord, you'll have your opportunity to come down. In 3 moments, for the one that has known the Lord but not known freedom, you will have your opportunity to be delivered. So now, 3 moments away from life, I encourage you now to take your power back. First of all, take your power back. Moment number one is about taking your power back. It's my life, and God has given me choices to choose abundant life. And in this one moment that leads to 2 and 3, I begin to take my power back. Right now, all over this room as you pray, take your power back. 2, it includes looking in the face of your Pharaoh and your puppet master and refusing to be intimidated, manipulated, and controlled any longer by that thing that strongly opposes God's will for your life. It's about taking your power back. It's about facing your Pharaoh. Go ahead, face your Pharaoh. And now the 3rd moment is about confessing your need for Christ. In just a moment, I'm going to shout 3. And whether you're coming for sanctification and deliverance or salvation, when I shout 3, you confess your need for Christ by choosing the aisle nearest you and not just walking, but running to this altar where there is abundant and eternal life. 1, you took your power back. 2, you faced your Pharaoh. Now, 3, confess your need from Christ and slip into the altar right where you are. Slip into the aisle and come now. Quickly, come now. Keep praying, saints. Keep praying. There's a number of people coming, but there's a number of more that are weighing the balance and fighting the war. They need to come and they need to face the Pharaoh of a divorce and a separation. They need to face a Pharaoh of brokenness and of depression and of discouragement and of disillusionment. There are others that must face the Pharaoh of overcoming alcoholism and drug abuse and sexuality and lust and perversion. Now is the hour of deliverance and freedom. Confess your need for Christ by slipping into the aisle nearest you and to this altar. Come, there's more. Come, there's more. Some have to reason and think just a little bit longer. And we give you that time. But there are some that even now your heart's here. And you need to tell your legs to bring the rest of you here. Come, friend, come. There's an anointing to save, deliver, and heal this morning. And we cannot pass this moment by. Come. Come. Don't be distracted by the warfare inside of you. Don't be distracted by the things that are breaking out inside of you. From the fear to the disillusionment, confess your need for Christ by slipping into the aisle and coming to the front. There's still time. There's still time. There's still time. Come and keep coming. Come and keep coming. Come and keep coming. Friend, you may even have to turn to your left and right and be led by the Spirit. And you may have to ask someone who seems troubled next to you, is this altar call for you? If it's for you, it's for me. If it's for you, if it's for me, it's for us. Let's go together and I'll carry you to your freedom. Go ahead now. Let the Spirit guide you to those around you. Well, if I come, what will people think? Part of facing your Pharaoh is forgetting what people think and start receiving what God says is. Come and keep coming. We're not going to go down the aisle and ask each person to confess their Pharaoh. We're just going down the aisle and we're asking each person to confess their need for Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do in just a moment. Each person is going to ask Jesus Christ into their Lord. And for each person, we're going to ask and lead them to ask Him in as Lord, as Savior, and as Deliverer. Because it's time for the body of Christ to look different, act different, and live different. And we can't be the difference if someone else is pulling our chain, pulling our strings, and calling the shots. Some of you need to confess that your Pharaoh has been unfaithfulness. That you've been inconsistent and unstable in all your ways. And it's time for you to slip to this altar and create for yourself a choice that begins a whole new day. Go ahead, church, keep praying. I'm not afraid to ask you to keep praying. I'm not afraid to even ask you to stay. Because we are fighting death, hell, and the grave this moment for people's future. Oh, the day that your future came back to you. Keep praying for their future as it comes back to them. Thank you, Jesus. God, this is a soul-winning church. And just as it's a soul-winning church, it's a yoke-breaking church. It's a place where people come to get delivered and set free. It's a place where people come and leave the old things in their past away. And behold, they walk into the newness of God's design and glory for their life. And it begins with surrender. And so even now in the altar, each one of you begin to surrender. Surrender it all. Because in just a minute, I'm going to lay hands on you. And as I lay hands on you, it's that gathered place where He's going to dwell in the midst thereof. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's a delivering power in this room this morning. There's a delivering power in this room this morning. There's a delivering power in this room this morning. You in the altars, I want to begin to see that desperation that we sang about. In your praying and in your tears and in your longing and in your tarrying. God, I'm not just hungry for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm more desperate for my future than my past. And therefore, I pray a little bit different. It may make those around me uncomfortable, but I am more uncomfortable with this controlling me than me taking dominion over it. Pray as you've not prayed in a while. Pray as you've mourned. Pray as you've complained. Pray as you've doubted. Pray as you've feared. Let the yoke-breaking anointing of God come upon you. In Jesus' name. Now, Larry, I'm going to need some help here. I'm going to need us to separate those who've come down from those who sit in the front. Isn't that a nice problem to have in a church? If you've come down, I promise you, you're not going to break the flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing by following through on this next request. But I'd like to ask every person who's come down to be prayed for to go ahead and stand back to your feet and let our ushers, under the direction of Larry Pace, make one straight line across the front of this building. If you've come down to pray, well, congratulations, you got a little bit more than just to come down and pray. You're going to get prayed for. It was in the fine print, if you look closely. But the Holy Spirit has been speaking strongly to me about the season and the hour that the body of Christ is in. And how many of you would like to believe that you're a part of the body? Raise your right hand. He took me to Isaiah chapter 10 in the 27th verse, where it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that His yoke shall be taken away from our shoulder. His burden shall be taken away from our shoulder and His yoke from our neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." I want you to shout with me, it's time for it to come to pass. We've messed around in church for generation after generation, and we've lived like we've lived in a wilderness without hope, without resolution, and without the provision of God. And we have come into a season and time in which that wilderness has now taught us how to go into the promised land for ourselves and take back everything that God says belongs to us that the enemy has stolen from us. And today is about announcing into the body of Christ that this is the hour that it comes to pass. And it's time for you and I to get aggressive and possessive. Shout aggressive. You can't pray the way you used to pray. You got to be more aggressive. You can't stay in church the way you've stayed before. You got to come and you got to be aggressive, because it's in this being aggressive that you can become possessive. Amen. Today is the day that I begin to announce this stuff that's been controlling us, this stuff that's been calling the shots in our lives, is coming to pass. And that we, being led by the Holy Spirit, are being brought to a place that God can deliver us, save us, and heal us. How many of you are ready for that? How many of you are ready for that? Now, is it because I've said it? No. Is it because now you're going to be prayed for and it's magically going to happen? No. I go back to my comments. War is inevitable. But what you have finally done is you have shown up in the battle. You have reported to the war. And you're going to begin to fight for what belongs to you. Amen. You're going to get involved. You're not going to sit back and let everybody else do it for you. You're not going to quit blaming the church or blaming your family or blaming your job or blaming your past. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Everybody was more for this when it was just kind of this we wave the wand thing. This means war. The reality is, it's not going to be easy. It's going to come with a great price. But aren't you ready for your hurting? Aren't you ready for it to start counting and it to start healing rather than it dividing and further breaking your life? So it's time to be aggressive. It's time to be possessive. And it's time to declare, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Now practice this new season, this new order, this new accepting of responsibility by raising your hands and raising your hearts and beginning to be aggressive. Being aggressive is where it begins. And pray this with me. Heavenly Father, in the power of Jesus' name, I now come to you asking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life. I accept the fact that I am a lost sinner without the Son, without His name, without your love, whose name is Jesus. Jesus, come in and be my Savior now, and be my deliverer now, and declare to those things in my life that have been pharaohs and puppet masters, the time has come for you to leave and for this season to pass. And I cast you out in Jesus' name. Amen. Now pray like you possess a new day. Pray like you possess a new heart. Pray like you possess a new Savior, a new Deliverer, a new Healer. Pray as if you're living for life now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Extend your hearts and your hands and start praying as we start praying for you.